for the sun, but I wanted to apologize. I glanced at my darling husband, David, who was sleeping soundly. I watched him breathe deeply and suppressed the urge to smother him with a pillow. How was it that he could hear me adjusting the thermostat from two rooms away, but could sleep through the ear-stabbing howls of our eight-month-old every morning? "I know you're faking," I whispered, trying to call his bluff. No movement. I threw my legs over the side of the bed and bent down to find my trusty black stretch pants. They're the same ones I'd been wearing for the past 2, 3, maybe 6 days. They didn't smell bad, they smelled rich, with character. After making my way to the bathroom, I splashed a bit of water on my face, hoping the H2O would magically fade the dark circles around my eyes. I glanced into the mirror and was surprised to see Medusa staring back at me. But instead of snakes coming out of my head, there was just a ratty ponytail. I ran my fingers through the mess and cringed. If my hair got any greasier, I'd be able to stand outside on a hot day and cook breakfast on it. I was exhausted. My back hurt, my head hurt, my eyelashes hurt. I tried to remember when my last good night's sleep was. It had to be when I was 6 months pregnant. That's when the heartburn kicked in. Did I say heartburn? I meant boiling hot lava, flaming acid rain. Whatever it was, it meant I had to sleep sitting up in bed while Aubrey river danced on my bladder. If there was any justice on earth, women would take the first 20-week shift of pregnancy, and men would take over for the last 4.5 months. But based on how a common head cold transformed my husband from a 35-year-old man to a 96-year-old granny with malaria, I wasn't sure he'd make it through one day with child. Another angry scream shot through the baby monitor. I'm coming," I whispered, dabbing at my face with a towel. I stared at my tired reflection in the mirror. When Aubrey was finally born, every ounce of throat-searing bile was mostly forgotten as I looked into her adorable little face covered in that weird white marsh scum infants are born with. When you think about it, my uterus was kind of like a marsh. It was wet, dark, warm. All that was missing were the alligators. I wish someone had warned me about the Vernix situation. Maybe then I wouldn't have screamed, "Is she a leper?" in front of two nurses, the doctor, and a team of horrified interns. David teased me for weeks. Every time I'd hand her to him, he'd make a cross with his fingers and yell, "Unclean!" She really was a beautiful baby. Or I thought she was. Everyone thinks their newborn is a looker, when the truth is, 99.99% of them look like Groucho Marx. I looked down and noticed that the pants I had slipped on in the dark featured a large hole in the crotch. A custom air vent, I rationalized. It was almost impossible to believe that 2 years ago, my morning started with a ridiculously long shower as I got ready for work at Weber & Associates. I was a rising superstar in the marketing world. Back then, my mornings revolved around my intricately detailed makeup routine, dressing in trendy but professional skirt suits, and the vanilla latte and egg, cheese, and ham croissant that I'd devour on my commute. Now, breakfast consisted of whatever finger food scraps Aubrey doesn't eat and peanut butter on a spoon while standing up with my face in the pantry. This wasn't how I pictured motherhood at all. In my motherhood fantasy, I'd wake up at 7 a.m. and float into my still-sleeping baby's designer periwinkle and slate nursery with a plum accent wall, like in Real Simple's fall issue. Everything in the spotless, clutter-free baby sanctuary would be made by obscure Etsy artists living in the woods in Oregon, Italian designers, or handmade by yours truly. You'd be able to feel the oak knots in the crib. They'd tell a story. While my baby slept, I'd sit in her custom-made organic bamboo and pine rocking chair and write her a poem every day. She'd treasure these poems for her